I got Greg watching WNBA basketball. Let's go.
We do podcasts by nature, it's in our blood. Stay posted in the magic and spreading love. Four guys on the pod every week. Live Twitch feed for the fans, what a treat. Find us on the internet with all the pods. Stacking up downloads so we become demigods. There ain't no limit to our peak. Fortune and fame is all we ever seek. Everyone listen to a new low today. Everyone listen to a new low today.
Hello and welcome back to A New Low. I am your de facto host, Headphone Joe, and I'm here with my good buddy as always,
L. Greg.
Greg, how you doing on this Tuesday?
Doing good,
man.
Doing good.
All right. Well, I'm going to be doing pretty good because I got a drink.
Oh, shoot.
Drinks with Joe. All right. As everyone is well aware, Joe has a new ingredient, so he's going to run it into the ground. So the Liqueur 43 is back at it again. Today I'm making the Ginger 43. I don't know if you guys are smart or not, but ginger ale, it will be involved. So,
oh, dang.
It's asking for 6 3/4 ounce of ginger. I got a 7.5 can. I just measured out half an ounce. I'm just going to put the rest of it in here.
It's an odd number.
Yeah, very odd. Actually, not even going to put that much in there. And then, 2 ounces of the Liqueur 43. Actually, it's like 1.75. I'm gonna do 1.5. Because last time, listening to their measurements, I think there was too much Liqueur 43 in it. All right, so throw that in there. And then it says, juice half a lime. The limes here in Georgia are pretty small, so I juiced like 2 of them. So I'm going to put that in here. And I'm going to go for hopefully like 1.5 ounce. I think I'm at like the 1 ounce mark. So 1 ounce of
sounds good.
Lime juice. I'm going to just sprinkle it in there. Sprinkle it.
That's a lot of lime juice. Yeah. Going to be some tartness.
Going to be pretty tart. And you know what I did just for you folks on the Twitch? I went and got a garnish. So I got a lime pin right here. Boop, boop. Throw it on there. Bang, bang, boom. And that is a Ginger 43. Look at that.
Nice. Nice.
Very limey, but very good actually. When this drink is, when this liqueur is done right, it tastes so good because there's that smoothness that comes through with the vanilla and the, it's like a creamsicle flavor. That's kind of what the Liqueur 43 is, like a creamsicle, like in liquid form. So then when you add some things that help enhance that and bring that to the forefront, it makes a drink so much better.
Right on, right on.
So you're getting the balance of the sweet and the tartness. You're getting the a little bubble and a little bit of that bitter ginger taste on your tongue. It's all working like it's supposed to right there. That's a 7 out of 8, Joe's. Man, when this thing hits, it hits perfectly.
Nice. That's pretty nice.
It's pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty, pretty good.
Wow, it sounds like a great drink. As you guys may have noticed, if you're watching on the Twitch, which on my end is not looking great, but hopefully you're getting a good version of it. It was just going really slow. But anyway, as you've noticed, Scott is not here. He sent us an audio message. I think this might explain it a little bit.
He did?
Yeah.
L. Greg and Headphone Joe. L. Greg and Headphone Joe. That's all I ever hear. Nobody ever talks about Scott by Scott. When will it be my time? When? Gul darn it. When? When? I just want to be loved.
I don't know what to tell you, Scott. It's,
you are a lover, buddy. I love you.
Everybody loves you, man. I hear people talk about you all the time. I don't know why.
You're everybody's
feel
favorite.
Feel so unloved.
So you're such a sweetheart.
Yep.
You're the unassuming sweetheart. That's what everyone says.
That's what everybody says. I've heard it from at least 7 or 8 people over the last 15 to 20 years.
It's not a lot of people over that amount of time. But, you know.
But we will, it is Tuesday. It's not our normal recording time. So some wires get crossed sometimes, but we're all good to go. Before I go any further, I had this, got this message from Joe the other day, and I don't know why he felt that he needed to say it, but.
I feel like Greg's gone rogue here. I'm right here. I don't even know what you're referring to.
Here's what he said.
Hey, man, I will die on this hill. It's Notre Dame and it's motorcycle. Prove me wrong. And don't try to use logic or ask me to spell it. I know what I know. Also, Scott, I love you, man.
See?
I didn't say any of these things. I didn't say any of these things.
You said Notre Dame and motorcycle.
I've said those words, but I did not say that in that sentence. I feel like I don't like where this is going. I don't like my voice being manipulated to say things that I didn't say. I don't want to be kissing Jordan on the sideline and Chris Cody be confused at any point in my life. So
that's funny. That got slippery slope. But
did it?
He was on. She was on the sideline, right, at one point.
No.
Or was that all fake?
I don't know. I didn't see anything from that game. So I think she was on the sideline at some point, now that I'm thinking about it. Because
I saw it on social media, and I wasn't sure if it was all fake or just the picking up or him, her jumping.
Yeah, I think all that was fake. But if you listen to Cheers, I've been The Ringer has a new college football show with Joel Anderson and Van Lathan. I've been listening to them. Recap game. Oh, dang. Is she hurt?
I think she got poked in the eye.
Oh, okay.
Or in the nose.
They have what was I going to say? They have a Ringer Sunday, a Saturday show. Starts at 7, so they're like recapping the first half of games, and they kind of talk as the last slate of games are coming on. And I think they did make mention that Jordan was on the sideline. So I think that part is real. And that's how the picture started, and then somebody just animated the rest of the nonsense.
Gotcha. Makes sense. It was kind of wild.
I was like, you know what I've been I watched last night? First time I watched.
What'd you watch?
I watched Stu Gatz's show. Stu Gatz and Company. And I was like, you know what? I fucking miss Stu Gatz. The show's been missing Stu.
Dan said he's gonna be back once.
He's gonna be back after. I know, but how long is that gonna be?
It was so, the first few shows, he was in a really nice studio, and
now they're
sponsored
on
by something, and then they went to Zoom, and they got different sponsors, but I think they had a big sponsor and lost him or something, I don't know, because they were in somebody else's studio, a really nice studio.
I think, as somebody who's a video editor, it looked like it was a green screen behind them, and it was a makeshift like thing put up behind them, because my what kept confusing me was I was like, wait, I know Taylor moved back to New York. Is he's not flying down for every episode? Did Stu move to New York? I'm like, what? Right. None of this is making. And then I finally realized I was like, oh, it's an AI backdrop, not AI, but a graphic designed backdrop. Because the different pictures and things, I was like, there's no way Stu has just all these things.
But even when I watched, Stu was in a nice place. Everybody else was like, Mikey A and Taylor were on Zoom, but he was in a nice place. And then they mentioned that it's going to be their last day in that, and then he ended up in this, you know, on his own at home, from home. So I'm not sure what the deal is. I think maybe they had a sponsor.
I think FanDuel is still the sponsor. I think whatever studio they were recording out of probably was like, they gave them a sweetheart deal for the beginning, and they were like, all right, we want to get paid. And Stu's,
or maybe when FanDuel came in, it was maybe a little DraftKings money to start with, and then
maybe
when they went FanDuel, they lost that. I don't know.
Probably,
but possible. I watch her once in a while. Been watching Damashek on Fridays. His Football America.
My biggest complaint is Dan being in on Fridays, and I don't get Andrew Hawkins anymore.
He can still come on. He used to. He used to come on with Dan on Fridays. But his producers, Damashek, or Tony, and Mike Fuentes and his brother. What's his brother's name?
The Fuentes brothers.
Yeah. But Tony's been on there, and Mike Ryan's been on a couple. So he has the Levitar people in there, but his two producers are the Fuentes brothers. But they're pretty good. I mean, you don't hear them talk very much except for Mystery Crate.
Yeah.
You only hear Mike, but so it's interesting to hear him on the mic a lot more. They seem to be pretty knowledgeable about their sports, which, like I said, you don't hear them on the main show.
Main show, yeah.
But
yeah, got a review for Ariel from Ariel on the drink. She loved it. She said it's probably the best drink you have made.
You seem to like it yourself. How many Joes did you give it?
I gave it 7. It might
seven
be
7 out of 6 Joes. The or 7 out of 8.
7 out of 8. Come on, Greg, get with the program. It's perfect logic.
I still like it.
But I don't know. It might be creeping up. It might be at 7.5 by the end of the show. Pretty good. This might be a new. I might have to stop making drinks with the Liqueur 43 so I can have more Liqueur 43, so I can keep making these, because this is pretty great.
Right on.
This might be a little treat when people come over. Be like, hey man, you gotta try this one. I would say one of the things I want to do is like get some of the recipes that I've made and make like a little drink recipe book.
Absolutely.
So yeah. Not to put anywhere, just to have on like the drink counter.
Looks like you have something to discuss regarding nuptials or something. I don't know.
Oh, yes. You already asked a question? Was your question?
I didn't have a question. I just never removed that from last week.
Gotcha. Confused me. So yeah, me and Ariel attended our first wedding as a married couple. It was one of her childhood friends, William, aka Chooks. He's also known. Yeah, he was at our wedding. He was cutting up the dance floor at our wedding. Very notable. It was him, one of her other childhood friends, Manny, and then my cousin Teddy were three mainstays on the dance floor. But yeah, William was getting married. I can't remember if he was supposed to get married before us or this was always the date, because he did suffer an Achilles injury at a certain point. So I don't know if that moved the date back some or not.
Oh, really? That sucks.
Yeah. The funny thing was, we got to the venue and like everybody was kind of like in a bullpen, like a holding area before we got led into the ballroom, and there were two other guys that had like boots on their legs. I was like, what is going on? I was like, there's an epidemic of Achilles just dropping out of the sky. But so the big thing about it though is William is Nigerian. His father and mother were what just happened there?
Sometimes you know
bad.
I had a web page on. I couldn't find the ad where it was. there's videos all over the place.
Yeah. William's father and mother are from Nigeria, so he had a traditional. The funny thing is, from what he told Ariel, this was supposed to be, quote-unquote, the white dress wedding, like the more American wedding. And then him and his wife are going to have a traditional African wedding in Africa, I believe in December. But all the signage around was like, this is William and Akuya's traditional wedding. And I was like, it's very odd. that keep saying that. And I'm like, is the American thing traditional or the tradition? Like, what's going on here? Yeah. So then we get let in. By the way, the dress code was like, you know, not casual, but like suit and tie or African garb. So that was another hint that this probably wasn't going to be just a standard American wedding. So we got there at 6. Little backstory. William missed our ceremony. When we were walking out and go outside, he was walking up and he was like, oh man, you guys are like punctual. Like, you guys were like 6 o'clock. We were like, yeah, we're like the time we're paying for is like the time we're paying for. His wife is she also does wedding planning. So he told Ariel, my wedding says it starts at 6, but you could probably get there at 7. So when he said that to her, in my head, I was like, well, maybe it's not like the same way ours was, where like we have 6 hours to really do everything. She's a wedding planner. She probably knows the venue. They've given her extra time or something or other, you know. But we got there at 6 in our infinite wisdom. And it got to the point where 6:10 rolled around, 6:20, 30. It was me, Ariel, Manny, one of the guys that was at my wedding, and her friend Abraham. He was there with his wife and his sister, his older sister. And Ariel's sister at some point was like, all right, let's start taking bets at when do we think the first person will walk down the aisle. And everybody was like, 7:07. I think I said 7:07. Someone said 7:30. Someone said 8 o'clock. And it was like, come on. It's ridiculous. It's not going to be 8 o'clock. I think they finally let us into the ballroom at about 7:15, 7:20-ish. And it was set up not like how I was like, Greg will understand this, but not like row seated. It was already set up like it was dinner. Right. So like so all so yeah.
Banquet
seating. Yeah. Banquet seating. So then we see the rundown, and the rundown is like there's an MC that's going to come on, her family's going to walk in, his family's going to walk in, the cola nut is going to be presented. Then the families are going to exchange gifts. Then the groomsmen are going to come in with the groom. Then Is This Your Bride is going to be played. Then the bride and the bridesmaids are going to walk in. And then, like, the ring exchange, a prayer is in there somewhere. Then dinner. And I'm like, I'm just looking at this thing. And I said we walked in at, like, 7:15, 7:20. And I was like, well, let me crack open the phone, because I had originally planned to game cast the entire Miami Florida game, but I was like, looks like a lot is gonna happen, and he thankfully put us like in the back of the room. So I was like, all right, let me throw up the game until like things start to, you know, get going, and I'll turn the game off. At a certain point, we then started to play the game. When will we see the bride or groom? Bets started at 9 o'clock.
Oh my gosh.
The prayer, the family walking in, all that took a lot. Like, it was so funny. At one point, I said to Ariel, I was like, how many amens do you get? Because the guy who did a prayer said amen, and then I was like, wait, people's heads are down again. Okay, let me put my head back down. Another amen was said. Amen. I picked my head up. I was like, they're still like, wait, he's not done? I thought he was done. It was very long. It was my first African wedding, so I didn't know what to expect. A lot more tradition, a lot more ceremonial things. It was cool. It was very cool. The vibe was so different, especially being that we had just got married like a month and a couple weeks ago. Like, the vibe was way more, not to say our vibe was like not jovial as far as the ceremony was concerned, but like the ceremony for theirs was like a super celebration. Like, the way everybody's entering the room, I would say the best example if you've seen any depiction of like a not a Greek wedding, of an Indian wedding. Yeah. So it's like it's super extravagant, like a little over the top.
That's what I was thinking of for sure.
Yeah. So it's like everybody's dressed in like traditional garb and everything, and like they're speaking native tongue. Like there's things that are being literally translated and stuff like that. It was super cool, super fun. Only issue I had was because everything ran late. Your boy didn't get to eat until like 10 something.
Were there drinks?
But the best part was the open bar. The bar was open, and I was like, okay, how open?
Dinner time.
Bar was open pretty much the whole time. Like while presentations were going on. Somebody clocked like, all right, I just saw two people come from the bar. So then we snuck off to the bar. Yep. We started sneaking off to the bar. He had a whiskey sour that was pretty fucking good. Only thing I wish is they had the egg white so I can get the froth and a little more smoothness to it. But outside of that, the taste was pretty, pretty freaking good. And then I was like, all right, then for my second drink, I'm gonna test how open this bar is. All right. Got to, you know. So I walk over. I'm like, all right, can I get an old fashioned? She said, yeah. I was let's go. I was like, it's easy, but it's like, if you don't got the ingredients, you don't got the ingredients.
Right.
But yeah, I was like, they had the ingredients. So I was like,
boom. Two liquors and beer and wine.
Yeah.
They got all.
So I was like, all right. I was like, let's go. So had the old fashioned. Old fashioned was really good. I don't know what they did with it, but it was really good. It
took a while. Cherry.
They did not muddle the cherry. And that was the only, how do I say, so because this was like a 200 person wedding versus ours, which was like a 100. So they had so much more people, so they couldn't stir it to dilute it as much. So it started off kind of rough, but then as it got diluted and all the flavors started to blend, it got so fucking great at the end. Yeah, I was about to say, it got so freaking good at the end. Ariel ended up getting, because I think the wife's cocktail was a lemon drop martini. So Ariel got that one first. And then when she went back, she got a French 75. Then we ate. Finally, they had a cool little photo booth people could do while they waited. And then I went back and got a whiskey ginger. Ariel got another French 75. Mm-hmm. Were there honoring of ancestors? There was definitely honoring of ancestors. There was so much honoring of ancestors to the point where before the I never saw the ring exchange. I don't even know if rings were exchanged at any point.
Right.
But there was a moment where there was like a palm wine ceremony where they both had to walk to like their different sides of the room. Because, like, she was on her family and everything was on the right, his family and everything was on the left. So they had to walk to the separate sides with, like, this goblet of wine and go up to the elders. They went up to different elders who were all around the audience, for lack of a better term, and, like, get a blessing or have some, like, speak to them in some manner. And then they eventually got together and then they had to drink the wine themselves. Like, there was so much tradition, and I'm just like out of the, cause I mean, you know, slavery. I'm so unaware of like all the traditions and everything that are happening. So everything is kind of like mind blowing. And then I'm also looking at my phone, like I need this first down. So yeah, but no, it was really great. I think we didn't get out of there. Like everybody else at our table left probably sometime between 11 and 11:30-ish. We didn't leave until about 12-ish. I would say there's other. I don't know if you guys have seen this online. I was completely clueless to this until I mentioned it to my brother that I was going to an African wedding, and he was like, "Oh, are they gonna throw money?" And I was like, What are you even talking about? And apparently that's like a thing. Like it gets posted online where they throw money up and like make it rain on the couple, and then they like throw, there's like a bunch of songs, like African dance song and Afrobeat songs, where they like just keep continuously throwing money in the bride and groom's face. And I was like, I was completely unaware of this. But yeah, so that was fun and interesting to see. But it was a good night, a good Saturday night, going out. Good vibes, good people. Love was in the air. So yeah, pretty fun shindig.
That sounds good. Sounds fun.
Yeah. Shout out to Big Chooks. I was about to say, they've been posting a lot of this stuff now, and it's like very beautiful. Man.
Well, that's great. I didn't attend anything. I went up to the cabin this weekend. I'll be talking a little bit about it a little later, but watched a lot of football, watched some TV shows, rewatched some movies, watched the movies. So let's go ahead and move on. Ooh. Don't have a question from the Australian tonight, so let me make sure that's the case. Nope. All right, so let's go to the movies.
Thank you to Satan for giving me inspiration.
All right, I've seen two movies since I talked to you all last. I went and saw The Long Walk. Directed by Francis Lawrence, who did all the Hunger Games movie, starring Cooper Hoffman, the son of Philip Seymour Hoffman, as well as David Johnson, who's been in several things, including Industry, I think is probably his biggest thing. He was also an Alien Romulus. So yeah, two movies. The Long Walk. Long Walk, based on a Stephen King book that I believe he wrote before. What's his big one? Carrie? Not Carrie.
He had a bunch of big ones. Shining. What?
No, the first one, the lady and the like.
Misery.
The weird lady. Is it Misery?
The one with Kathy Bates and.
Yeah, I think it's Misery.
Yeah.
Or is there one with a C? I'm thinking, for some reason in my mind, there's a C one.
Well, I mean, he has so many things based on.
Yeah, he had a lot of them. But it's basically, he wrote this while in college, and it didn't get published until way later when he did it under his pseudonym.
Stand By Me.
No, it's on Stand By Me. But yeah, he did it under his pseudonym, and because Carrie was his first one. So he wrote, 5 years later, under a pseudonym, this book comes out. If you haven't read the book, this is a harrowing tale. If you haven't seen the trailers.
I've seen the trailer for it. I heard Anderson mention it on the last episode of After Disaster.
Yeah, they did.
But.
Yeah. It is, this is a movie that definitely puts a lot of things in perspective, really calls on your humanity and having humanity for those around you, and just like the slippery slope that we as a society could end up in very much sooner than later, and... Yeah, man, it was just gut-wrenching. Like, in the first 5 minutes, spoiler alert, if you've seen the trailer, you understand. But, like, in the first 5 to 10 minutes, like, this 14-year-old boy just gets shot in the head. And it's like, yeah, that's like that. And that happens, and then the title sequence pops up, and it's like, holy fuck. and
was Stephen King involved in the...
Yeah. Stephen King was a producer on the movie. The thing, and I think the thing that's the not craziest, but the thing that was jarring throughout the watch was in my head, like knowing that was going to be a part of the movie from seeing the trailer and everything. You'd think they'd shy away from some of it, but nah, they kind of just like keep hammering over the head, like witness these young men. Like dying in a way, and like literally like 3 parts of the movie I just became verklempt. I'm like, oh, like this is tough. Like it got so tough to watch at a certain point, but the messages and the themes and what the movie's exploring, I just think was so important and really hit home. So yeah, really good movie. I liked it a whole lot.
Okay.
Even though it was difficult to watch.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever see that one, but I probably will try to watch it at some point.
It was funny. I thought of two movies while watching. I thought of Civil War, and I was like, Civil War, similarly, like, you know, just a group of people kind of on one track mission. And I was like, this is way better than Civil War. Like, this has all the same elements of Civil War, but you could tell this story was designed by people who live in America and understand America, where I feel like Alex Garland didn't understand America. And I think that's my biggest issue with Civil War. And then Warfare was the other movie, also an Alex Garland movie, where you watch all of Warfare. It's gut-wrenching. It's so raw and everything. But there's a cognitive dissonance with the guys being at war and this happening at home to just unsuspecting kids. But, and they're not even unsuspecting, like, they know what the walk is. Like, it's like a game in a sense. It's gamified, like, it's televised and everything. Like, everyone is aware of it. So it just made it that much more harrowing. And the other film I watched, also, this one released, new release this past week. Him, directed by Justin Tipping, starring Marlon Wayans, Tyreek Withers, Jim Jeffries, who I forgot was in it, until he popped up in it. Julia Fox was in it.
Did you hear Juju Gotti talking about this today?
Yeah, I did. I definitely did. And I agree with Juju, even though I gave it 3 stars on Letterboxd because
3 out of 5. That's tough.
3 out of 5. I like to, you know.
Yeah.
I don't like to bury a movie.
Yeah.
I've given movies.
Juju would have given it. Juju would have given it a 1, I think. But
probably. I have major issues with this movie. Primarily, it doesn't understand. I don't think it understands what it's trying to say about. And this is kind of, when I say this, this kind of makes my whole point. It doesn't know what it wants to say about fan culture or obsession culture, obsession with greatness. It doesn't know what it wants to say about the structure of the NFL, of sports in general. Like, it's asking so many open-ended questions, but it doesn't really have, it doesn't have a viewpoint as far as what it's, what is their answer and what do they think is the reasoning behind it. It's kind of aimless and adrift. It's a collection of a bunch of cool scenes and some really well shot scenes. Like, at times this movie is beautiful. There's some really great cinematography, but just the script and the direction, I don't feel like we're up to snuff. I was telling my brother, I was like, I feel like this was a, because this was a Blacklist script that eventually got made. I feel like it was smaller originally, and then it got, you know, groundswell, and then it got money, and they were like, well, we got to kind of put in some set pieces here, because this is not everything we were trying to say. We got to make this bigger. So I just feel like the performances were really great. Go ahead.
Do you think it's going to negatively affect future output by, what's his name?
Jordan Peele.
Jordan Peele.
I would say it's, I don't think so.
He got such acclaim for his movies that he, you know, was.
I don't think so, because this is not like the first, like, brick by his, like, the Monkey Paw production team.
Yeah.
And I know they're doing like a run of shorts right now. Like, they're working with a lot of, they've in a way taken on the role of like an incubator for young directors and expiring directors and whatnot, and making a lot of shorts with them and everything. But I would say, I think Candyman, like right after Get Out, when he like first got the production arm up and running, they did Candyman, they did something else, like, and none of them did the success that any of his movies have done. I think, even though it's funny, even though people can't separate when his name pop up and see that it says produced by right. instead of directed by.
Yeah.
There's still an understanding of when yeah. it is directed by him and people go see that movie more. So, but yeah, no, I think I liked Marlon's performance. I liked Tyreek's performance. I liked Jim Jeffries' role in this movie. I just feel like the script underserved everybody, and everybody did maximum what they could do with what was in front of them. But there's just so many inconsistencies and just a real lack of understand. I my biggest criticism is I don't think they really understand the psychology of the athletes they're trying to portray. Like, right. I don't think they get, like, what makes a football player in that way.
They didn't have any on set to kind of...
I don't think so.
Authenticity.
Somebody who,
authenticity.
I would say, Ariel loves to mention, Sinners had like a twin consultant on set to like, you know, these are how twins act and respond to each other. But yeah, I don't know if they didn't have anybody or it's just like, there's just so many issues. And the movie gets wrapped up very sloppily, very rushed at the end. It's a funner watch than it is a good film. Like, there's interesting things that happen in it. There's some really fun, interesting dialogue, some good scenes. But on a whole, it's kind of like this. Too much money was spent on this.
Yeah. Well, you know, I appreciate them giving filmmakers a shot, but
it's everything I asked for, and that's why I go support. Even though, I heard. I try usually to avoid like critic stuff before I go in, but like I was hearing negative reviews, and I'm like, I'm still gonna go because you know if I don't, it's kind of like back to what 2 years ago when I went to see the Sebastian movie and Joyride and The Blackening. It's like if I want these type of movies, I gotta go and support these type of movies as well. Like I want, even though it wasn't perfect, there was a lot I liked about it, and I liked the performances. So it's like there's things in there. It's not gonna be a hit, but there's things in there that need to be fostered to give them another chance because maybe this isn't the one. That's going to be it for them. But, you know, the next one could be the one for them.
For sure. Makes a lot of sense. Well, I mentioned I watched a movie or two and rewatched. I watched Weapons, which I had not seen, but you had talked about.
Weapons.
And I thought, based on people talking about it, I figured it was about one thing, and it was not about that. And I really enjoyed it. I think I messaged with you or on Discord mentioned that how original it was and entertaining and creepy. Very creepy.
Creepy.
But I did like it.
I think my biggest issue was it was more creepy than scary.
Well, yeah, but that's fine because scary is not scary to me. So creepy is as long as they're not trying to be scary and it's just creepy. I don't know. It was definitely creepy.
Can we talk about this, though? Did I mention this in the Discord?
The cop, the relationship thing.
Do you agree with me?
Yeah, I mean, it just
we got everything we needed from
they
him
went,
in the other two storylines.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an unnecessary part of it, but maybe, I don't know. Maybe they just wanted a certain number of stories or sections, and that was just one a throwaway one that they kept in because it was the number they wanted, 5 or whatever it was.
Yeah, something like that.
But rewatched after I listened to the Who Does a Podcast about K-pop Demon Hunters.
Oh, so,
you know, I saw it before you saw it because I brought it up on this show before you
did
actually
you?
Seen it. And I think I saw it right before your wedding.
Oh, okay. That sounds about right.
Oh, yeah, because I told you I saw it, and then you said, oh, yeah, or Rick's had it on or something. We were at that. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
But, so, and it's all over. You know, the songs are very popular and on the TikToks and stuff. So, rewatch that.
Running up the charts.
Ended up downloading the soundtrack. It's a couple really, really good songs on there. But I'm trying to get Kendra to watch it to see what she thinks. What she thinks about it, because I think she would like the songs. I don't know that she would like the movie as much as I like the movie and story and stuff. But yeah, that was fun. I was up at the cabin.
The story goes down as smooth.
Oh yeah,
got a hairball.
I agree.
I think this movie goes down as smooth as this drink goes down.
Absolutely, as you have a hairball. That's funny. Bad timing for that. Yeah,
furball just happened there.
And I rewatched the first season of Wednesday and just finished the second season last night. I forgot how much I enjoyed the first season. I can't even remember what it was about. I mean, I knew it was Jen Ortega and it was Wednesday Adams, but I forgot that it was like a murder mystery or just like trying to figure out what happened.
The rest of the family there in the show?
Yeah, the first season, they're there the first episode, and then they come for another episode. It's just Wednesday, though, for most of it. Mm. And Morticia and what's his name? The dad, and then the Pugsley.
Is Oscar Isaac the dad? Why do I remember Oscar Isaac being the dad?
No, it's that...
was there supposed to be a movie where he was the dad or something?
Maybe, but no Oscar Isaac in this. What was that? What's that dude's name? You know him. He's Hispanic dude with the lisp.
Javier Bardem?
No. He's not a good-looking dude.
Oh.
Why can't I think of his name? Luis Guzman.
Luis Guzman?
Yeah, that's plays Gomez. And then, of course, Catherine Zeta-Jones. Like I said, they're in the first episode of the first season, and then they come back another episode. Because it's about her going to the school that her parents went to. But
what?
And then the second season, Morticia, the family's in it a lot more.
Okay, so
her brother actually goes to school.
Is a 2019 film, animated, The Addams Family. This cast is insane. Oscar Isaac, Charlize Theron, Chloe Grace Moretz, Finn Wolfhard, Nick Kroll, Snoop Dogg, Bette Midler, Allison Janney, and Elsa Fisher. What in the world? And there was a sequel to
this. But those are all voices.
But yeah, that all was voices. Animated. Yeah, animated. Yeah. Big box office.
The second season got out to a slower start. I didn't like it as much but ended up being really good. You know, there's all kinds of monsters in it. There's werewolves. There's a bunch of different things. But it's fun. Fantasy. Addams Family. Thing is in it a lot. The Hand character. Mm. It's just the Hand. He's in, you know, he's in every episode. So those are the two characters that are and everything. But I enjoyed it. Enjoyed it. Because I totally had forgotten what the first season was about. Finished watching Foundation on the Apple there. Yeah. Some hard sci-fi action there. Really good series.
I was going to say, Tubi's free, right?
Yes, with that.
I was going to say, there's a show on there starring Big Oak from Hamilton. Apparently called, not Damascus, but something around there. And it's a sci-fi show, and I've heard good things about it. But it's on Tubi, and I didn't even know if it was free, and I don't have Tubi.
I don't know about that one.
Got it.
Yeah.
I mean, let me get an actual name for you.
But, yeah, so Foundation... Finished Twisted Metal Season 2. It's fun. Car action stuff. But that's pretty much all I watched. Did I watch any more movies? I probably watched some movies, but I didn't make note of them, so I don't remember. I think I was watching more series, because I was at the cabin by myself, because we had some stuff being delivered that I had to be there for. Kendra went out of town for work. And so I watched mostly series this time. Didn't have any movies to get caught up on. Tried to watch Ballerina. Couldn't get it. Just kind of bored me. I guess you've seen all the John Wicks, just in the female version.
Oh, the ballerina.
Which they had already made with Charlize Theron, which was not part of that franchise. That movie was made. But
yeah, it is Damascus. Yeah, it's a movie. It's a TV show on TV called Damascus. The 33-year-old man on a mission of self-exploration in burgeoning field of digital psychiatry.
Psychiatry
that may be the key to defining his truest self.
Okiariete. Okiariete. That's a lot of
Kyle knew how to say
syllables. Okiariete. So Okiariete. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Ona Odawan.
Yep, that Martin all sounds Lawrence right. You're crushing.
Martin Lawrence is in that.
Yeah.
Janet Hubert, isn't that the? Wow.
You got two. Check it out, folks. Supposed to be good. It's supposed to be original Vivian Banks.
What was I going to say? I'll have to check it out. Yeah, it has ads, though, I think, right? Tubi has ads.
Yeah, I believe so.
Nothing. Like, I don't watch ads on streaming. Like, it's crazy to even think about it, even though.
I was saying, the thing, I think it was. I think it was made in 2023 for like either Sci-Fi Network or FX or somebody, and like they didn't want it after it all got completed, so then they just sold it to Tubi.
Right on.
And now it's having like newfound life over there. I mean, cool. A life, I guess, since it wasn't.
Did you have any TV time or done with that?
Reasonable
section?
Doubt. Reasonable Doubt came back on Thursday. We watched the first two episodes of that. The Mess, Jax, Lewis, and The Mess is back. Loving it. This week, I believe, this week a couple things happened. One battle after another, the new PTA movie starring Leo, Tiana Taylor, Regina Hall. And is her name Chance? Her name's something like that. Infinity. That movie comes out, so I'm definitely checking out that out this weekend. English Teacher comes back on FX. That comes back out on Friday, I want to say. And then next week, either Tuesday or Wednesday, I'd have to look. Abbott Elementary comes back. Might be Thursday. It's the first. I think that's Thursday, actually. But yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm like a season and a half maybe behind Abbott.
Yeah, that's what happens for like all network TV. Like eventually they're on so regularly, you just kind of, especially now that we're streamers, we kind of just fade. Because that happened to me on Blackish. Like I was up to date, and then like around season 5 or 6, I missed like 4 episodes, and I was like, "What season was I on again?" And then like a year passed, and I was like, "I think they lost me."
I don't know where I left off. I don't know where.
Yeah, it's like I don't even know where I am anymore.
So you just kind of. But, right on. Well, let's move on to some sports topics. We can discuss our results from last week.
Get it off in time on 4th and 10 to the sideline.
So just a quick recap on our picks last week. Joe had picked the Seahawks -7.5. I'd picked the Chiefs -6.5. And we both won those. How Scott had picked the Bucks at -6.5, and they did not cover. They won, but they only won by 2 or 3.
Yes.
They kicked a game-winning field goal, so they didn't cover. And then the Cowboys did not win at all, and they are -1.5. So
loss outright.
Lost out. So half and half are, so that's not too bad. I was going to pick the Packers, and I'm glad I didn't.
Ooh, yeah. But what was the one Scott wanted? Oh, he could have picked the Dolphins, but that didn't happen. They only lost by 10 instead of the 11.5.
That's right. What about this week?
New week.
Micah Parsons going into Jerry World.
Game.
Big game. That has to be a 4 o'clocker, if not the 8 o'clocker.
It's Sunday night. Yeah. Sunday night football.
That's so gonna that's be good. Fun. Especially because Cowboys don't have
Packers
CD
are minus
too.
6.5.
We got another double Monday nighter.
Oh, dude. Oh yeah, the Broncos play the late one. So
Broncos play at 8:15. Jets play at Jets and Dolphins at 7:15. Don't love that.
So the Broncos are minus 7.5. It's a big number, but Cincinnati doesn't have a quarterback. Miami's only 2.5.
I don't have. Do I have the stones? You know what? I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna take the Jags plus 2.5, man. I don't. The 49ers have nobody left. Everyone is on injury. Kittle's not gonna be in this game. Jaquan Jennings is not gonna be available.
They lost Bosa.
Like the only receiver they got is Pearsall at this point standing. So
I'm sure they got other guys. You just don't know their names.
They got other guys. I don't know. I mean, they got Tesla's on the Lions. They got guys. I know they got guys.
The only thing is it's in San Francisco, Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Long flight.
Long trip.
But
DeMarcus Robinson, MVS, Sky Moore, Kendrick Bourne. I'm not scared of that team. Come on.
So you definitely want to do that? Jags.
Yeah, I'm gonna put my money where my mouth is. I think the Jags.
Plus 2.5.
Come out with that one. Yeah.
Jags plus 2.5. I do you see the
Trevor Lawrence
Bills
figured
16
out,
and
buddy.
A half. The Bills and
what?
Saints.
Oh,
plus
damn,
six,
yeah.
Or minus 16.5. That's a big NFL number. I learned in my betting last week.
Huge NFL number.
Like, almost every college game went over. Like, usually college, it's a hit or miss. Don't ever do over-under on college. Cause
I don't think the Miami. I have to assume the Miami game did not hit the over.
Maybe not, but so, like even the Iowa. Iowa, Rutgers, or whatever, whoever they played.
Hit the over?
Rutgers. Iowa and whoever they played hit the over, like, by a lot. And I was like,
wow.
There's no way.
They're usually the king of the unders.
They both have bad defenses, apparently. It wasn't Rutgers. Was it Rutgers? I can't remember who they played.
Rutgers is in the Big Ten. That's not a bad shout.
But the NFL was a lot of unders this past weekend.
All right. Who are you going? You going with the Packers?
No. I'm going to go with... Man. I think I'm going to go with Washington minus 1.5. I'm assuming they get Jayden Daniels back. But even if they don't, Atlanta's just...
Well, I did see Terry McLaurin is getting a second opinion on a hammy.
Yeah. I'm going to take the quad, I believe. I'm going to take the Commanders minus 1.5.
I'll take the Commies. Staking the Commies.
And then, do we have something we're confident about for the pod, the A&L pick?
I want to play fast and reckless again, but I'm not going to do that. I think this is a safer pick. Rams minus 3.5 over the Colts.
Colts been.
I think the Rams coming off that loss, man. They're going to see blood in the water, and that front four is going to get after Daniel Jones, and he's going to get softened.
That was
going to
be.
It's not going to be as fun.
Pick, so yeah. I like the Rams minus 3.5.
The one I was thinking of going crazy was New England minus 5.5. I was going to take the Panthers on that one. Panthers plus 5.5. New England hasn't shown like they're that much.
They turned the ball over
a
lot.
Yeah, like they're not this unassailable team. And I just saw the Panthers put together a pretty good defensive performance, enough to beat a team that I thought was going to be good, that apparently is not.
True, true.
So,
all right, well.
But no, I'll stick with the Rams there.
Cool, we got it. All right, so just to recap, Joe has the Jags plus 2.5. I have the Commanders minus 1.5. And as a podcast, we've got the Rams minus 3.5. I'm very confident in all three of those. Nah, not so much the Jags, but. So let's do it. Either, Well, let's get to the disappointments.
I have a disappointment. I'm disappointed. So it's football season, you know. Eagles 3-0. Shout out, you know. But a lot of people going into this week was like, the quarterbacks we've seen in the late game situations that are the best are insert name here, insert name here, insert name here. I heard Joe Burrow even mentioned in there.
Right.
But Jalen Hurts was not mentioned in there. And I was like, until I think Mina on Friday mentioned Jalen Hurts in there on the Dan Le Batard show. But this is from all places. And I was like, man, I feel like people have forgotten, so those of short memory, how little faith we have. Can I take you back to 2023? A game in October, late October, almost Halloween, against the Washington Commanders. The Eagles were down 17-10 and came back to win 38-31 by scoring 21 points in the fourth quarter. Another game, the next game, mind you, the Eagles were down 17-7 early in the second quarter and then went on to win 28-23 by the end of that one, putting up 14 points in the third quarter to ice that game. The next game, they had a bye week, and then the next game, Super Bowl rematch, big 4 o'clock window game. The Eagles were currently 8-1 at that time. They were down. See a pattern here, 17-7. And then rattle off 2 touchdowns in the second half to win 21-17. And then the game after that against the Buffalo Bills. The Eagles are down 17-7. And then put up 7 points in the third, 17 in the fourth to take it into overtime, and then win on a last second, not last second, but a game-ending Jalen Hurts run from about the 4 or 5 yard line where he drops back and it's a quarterback screen and he runs right down the teeth of the defense. No, not a tush push as everybody wants to make this team out to only be available. He ran it right down the teeth of the defense. I think it's easy. It's two things are easy. It's easy to have this complex being an Eagles fans because we always think the media and everybody is out to get us and they hate on us and they exaggerate everything that's going on with this team more than any other team.
Well, it's because they're on top, but yeah.
I was going to say, I feel like
if they were middle of the pack, I don't think it would appeal.
But I don't as think loud. So. The thing is, the games and how we're winning this year so far, the 3 games that we've won, feel very similar to how Kansas City was going about their business last year. And nobody was giving Patrick – no one was saying Patrick Mahomes is not a top 10 quarterback now because he's not throwing for over 300 yards. No one ever fixed their lips to say that last year.
That's not true. People were down on him like they were barely winning. How did that – smoke and mirrors that they have this record –
people were down on them, but no one ever said he was a lesser quarterback because of how they were playing. That was not the thing. And I think what people were able to put everything into context. He had less talent around him. They pivoted to a more defensive scheme. Like, people applied context. What people aren't applying context, and what I tried to do on Cheers and what I tried to do in the Discord is, in this 2023 season, when we kept going down and having to come back, we were dealing with a first-time offensive coordinator who got promoted from within. And the game flow, the game call, the game structure
was all out of whack, and the team had to figure that out, and they didn't, and they ended up having an epic collapse at the end of the year, losing like 7 of their last 8, getting bounced in the first round of the playoffs. So I think people aren't putting into context that, again, they're Jalen Hurts. I hear it for Baker all the time. He's had 5 coordinators in 5 years, blah, blah, blah. Jalen Hurts has had 4 offensive coordinators in the last 4 years. This is a job that gets you a head coaching job, or if you underperform, you get fired.
Right.
So people aren't adding the necessary context, I feel like, and they're just looking at the stat sheet and saying, he didn't throw for X, Y, Z. He obviously is not good as X, Y, Z. And it's like, no, he's doing what is necessary to win the game, and you have to put in – you like. The route combinations, I can see. I'm confused why 2 people are running in the same place. Jalen Stone into Devontae Smith, who's a little further, but Jahan Dotson is right in the area and reaches for the ball and takes it off course, and it doesn't get to Smitty. Like, there's things that are wrong in the coaching situation right now that need to get fixed. And Jalen voiced that afterwards, like, we can't keep coming out slow. We can't keep waiting until we get punched in the mouth. We need to start fast, and we need to, like, so I've just been annoyed. I've been happy with the wins, but I'm annoyed about people not applying logic to what they're seeing when they obviously have the brain capacity to see and understand. So it's my disappointment.
Absolutely. It's good to have sports disappointments, even though there's all kinds of disappointing things happening in the world.
You know, but get passionate a little once in a while.
That's right. Well, all right. Well, let's move on to our low life, low lights.
Low lives, low lights.
I got something to say.
That's right. Gary, Florida.
DTR on the Discord. Bad people. Very disappointing. Bad people are very disappointing. All right, well, that will do it for that segment. So let's move on to the...
stories that make us feel happy.
I mentioned that I was at the cabin by myself this weekend. I had to go up on... because we were having a couple things installed or supposed to be delivered on Friday. One of them, when we bought the place, it had a gas fireplace, but you had to, like, take the screen down, go in, and turn a dial on the actual equipment inside of the fireplace, which is annoying. And, you know, it's like, it's a lot of trouble. Have to bend down, getting old. Would love to have remote control, because it wasn't on a switch. A lot of them are on switches. You just turn a switch, and it comes on. This one did not have that. So we went and bought a new one that had a remote control so we could just do it from a distance. And that was being installed on Friday. And they came, installed it. Really nice gentleman. So we got our remote control fireplace. A little bougie. It's nice. We'll take it. And also we had bought a new refrigerator, and we were having it supposed to be delivered on Friday. Midway through Friday, they sent a message confirming that delivery was on Saturday, even though earlier in the day it said it was out for delivery. But Kendra called, and apparently they were taking a little longer on their deliveries, and they never were on the truck. So they pushed it a day, which is okay because I was up there, but was hoping to get all that done on Friday. But they did come on Saturday, the later part of their window, but they still came, got it installed, took the old refrigerator. Now we got a lot more space, better refrigerator for the space, more freezer space. So very excited. And this particular refrigerator has a Kraft ice maker within it.
Is it the cylindrical one?
Yeah, the ball ice. It's going to make ball ice by itself.
Is it the small or like the big?
I think it's going to be the... not giant ones, but big, you know.
Yeah, like the one where you could put in an old-fashioned. Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
So I got to get that up and running. It was I think I forgot to set something up before I left to come back to the house. But when I get up there this weekend, I'll try to get that rolling.
Nice. So,
so there, I'm very encouraged by a new fireplace, a new refrigerator. New refrigerator. And I think we're finally done with the purchases.
Adding things.
Yeah, we can finally just sit back and enjoy stuff.
That's good.
Also encouraged, my sister's coming tomorrow, but I don't want to eat into her encouragement. But
so I have an encouragement, not on the list, but I got an encouragement.
What's that?
I hit the trifecta. I had this fire trifecta this weekend. A Fulham win, a Hurricanes win, and an Eagles win. Pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty happy about that.
I had a bet, a three-way parlay. I had the first leg was Fulham. Then I had Bournemouth, is that their name?
Yeah.
It was 0-0, so killed that one. But then I had Arsenal to win. And that one screwed me. But I did win. I picked Leeds and...
Leeds United.
Liverpool.
Leeds beat Wolves, Liverpool. Right?
Yeah, they beat the Wolves.
Wow, Wolves is bottom of the table. West Ham is bottom of the table.
So that was a nice
Villa.
But did Arsenal win? Can't remember if they won. It didn't matter because I'd already lost the bet when Bournemouth didn't score a goal. All they needed.
They played Man City and they drew.
Oh, so that would I would have lost even if. Oh well. Yeah. It's as I get to know more and more about the Premier League, and it's easier to make bets on them because you have some insight now. Is where. Before, like, I don't know. Look at their records.
Just shot in the dark.
Yeah. But, so it was fun.
Fulham right now sits ahead of Man City in the table. Ahead of Man City and Man United in the table. This table is crazy. There's some recognizable names, but there's some randos in spots right now, too.
I was going to say, I should have had my disappointment. It's just my first Sunday watching the NFL all day because I was traveling the first 2 weeks of the season. And so it was very disappointing because the two teams that my family follows, the Packers and the Broncos. Broncos were, it was a tough game. They were playing maybe one of the best teams in the AFC. And they had a chance to win that. They just, like we mentioned before, before we got on the Twitch, just a couple inches on some passes for Bo Nix, difference between them winning that game and losing on a late field goal. And then the week before, they had a stupid penalty, which bad coaching.
Crazy.
They won that game. But anyway, so it was disappointing for the results of that, but it was a good football weekend. Crazy stuff happening in the witching hour. First game.
So many blocked field goals.
So many blocked field goals. But, hey, it's good to have a weekend of football. Michigan and Oklahoma won, although Oklahoma quarterback is out for a month or so. So hopefully they can steal some wins with their backups. Backup. Anyway,
hopefully just one.
This is not about me. We're doing encouragements, and that's all of them. All right, let's move on to.
Can I get high? Can I get high?
Kelly Panetta on the Discord. Encouragement. I'm heading to Georgia tomorrow to spend time with my brother and his lovely wife, as well as other extended family. That is true. Can't wait. Looking forward to it myself. Kendra's looking forward to it. Get to show the cabin to my sister. So, right on. Well, what we learned today, gentlemen? By gentlemen, I mean gentleman, because it's only one of us.
We learned we got to limit your AI budget. We gotta slow down how much you're using it, cause you.
Hey man, I will die on this hill.
Saying things I've never said in successive
order. So.
Well, it's funny because I had forgot about it. And then Kendra was in Mississippi working, and one of her coworkers, she mentioned to him that I'd made the Farzad ones. And she asked me what I used. So as I was telling him what I used, I went and made a couple of new ones.
Let me get back on there, see what I can do.
Because I hadn't made... I used your old audio from like early on in this, like from first few couple years, first year.
100?
So your little sounded a little different. Because it was noticeable. Because I think even... And then I got some Scott. Well, when I first did the Scott one, when he said Joe, it sounded British. But when I added headphone Joe, then it was...
It evened it out. Away.
I don't know why. It's weird.
The Brits don't like headphones.
L. Greg and Headphone Joe. L. Greg and Headphone Joe.
So, yeah.
That's fine.
Well, I learned that Joe went to a crazy wedding that was weird and stuff happened in weird order and later than advertised.
I got to watch dang near the whole Miami, Florida game. Well, before I even ate.
It's crazy.
No.
Well, thank you everybody for listening to A New Low. I'm L. Greg. That's Headphone Joe. Usually have Scott by Scott or Hate Squiggle. But we had a good time tonight. Hope you enjoyed it. You can find everything you need to know at anewlow.co. shop.anewlow.co if you want to buy some merch. Listen to the other shows on the Anulo podcast network. Who does a podcast? And cheers for the press box. Good times. If I left anything out, like I said, everything's at anulo.co. Thanks again for listening. And remember, I'm a man. I'm 40.
Where are we at in society today? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid.
And it's been a rad, rad world.
This is the time to say goodbye to all our low-life friends. We tricked you into listening, but now it has to end. See ya.
I'm not a kid.
Nope.